Thank you, thank you. I can hear the round of applause. I can hear the hope, love. I appreciate you guys. You know where I come from. I come from a crowd and response. So, you know, look to your neighbor. Look left to your neighbor. Look right to your neighbor. Give him a high five. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made. and I'm glad that you all came prepared in your church wear today. and if you don't have a neighbor, you know, you can still put an emoji right on the screen. You know, shout outs to Khan and just this beautiful response that we can come together and still worship and still gather, right? Nothing can stop the people of God from coming together. And I'm just excited to be before you guys today. So give those high fives and those shout outs, all right? All right, so let's open up in a word of prayer, center ourselves. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. God, we center ourselves on you. We thank you for your heart, Lord. We thank you that you are present. We pray, God, that you will speak, that you would, that your presence is felt everywhere, because you are everywhere and you are there, Lord God. And I'm excited about this message, and I thank you for your word to your people today. Open our ears that we may hear. Open our eyes that we may see what we don't see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. So let's get into his mighty word. Let's get right to it. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, or wonderful light. Bless his word. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Now, if you've been with us for the last 2 months, I know the world has changed since then, literally. But if you've been with us the last 2 months, we've been exploring this theme of redeemed identity. And we've been leaning into it and seeing what it really means and what that reality looks like. And given light of everything going on, I was tempted to sort of not deviate from it, but lean into some of the things that are going on. And I thought, if ever there is a time when we are talking about redeemed identity, it is now. If ever there is a challenge to our identity, it's in a crisis. A quote by one of my favorite heroes says, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Mm. Challenge and controversy. That's what we're surrounded by. That is what is in our homes. I have one friend during this time is broken because he has to take his groceries to his grandparents' house and leave them at the front door and restrain from embracing them. I have another friend who is has an issue with his right leg and an issue with his right arm. And he's my mentee, and he needs physical therapy. But now, given what's going on, he can't even go get physical therapy. That's a challenge. I have another friend. He's scheduled to get married in 2 weeks. And, you know, he's close to 40, and he's been waiting for this moment his whole life. And cancellations are happening, and he's forced to consider postponing this special moment in his life. Another friend is thinking about leaving New York because their family is at home, and she feels very isolated. And, you know, what is New York if we can't come together in a large and big way, right? This is challenge. This is controversy. This is a crisis we are in. But, you know, it's scary, but we have this interesting relationship with challenge and controversy. So do you remember Job? Or more so, like, let's zoom in on. Do you remember Satan's wager with God in heaven about Job? What did Satan say? He said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Does Job fear God for nothing? He said, you know, Job is cool, and you think he loves you, God, and, you know, but really it's the comfort, it's the security, it's the family, it's the, you know, money that he has. If you take away those things, he'll curse you to your face. I mean, he didn't say you just walk away. He said he'll curse you to your face. What do we see here about what Satan is saying, our old ancient enemy? What is he saying? There's something that he's working out of a knowledge of familiarity. How we are, how man is in moments of crisis where we can forget who we are. Where we cannot even notice ourselves in the mirror, and we do things that are uncharacteristic, like clearing out shelves of toilet paper, right? Like clearing out, my wife showed me a picture of Target the other day, and I thought she was in a warehouse, right? The aisle. And that's what's going on. And so I thought there was a key point out of this series that Christian brought up. And he quoted Jesus when he said, "Whom do you say I am?" He asked the disciples that. And he wasn't asking for himself, but he was asking for them, because their understanding and that answer of who he is shapes the reality of who they are and the world that they live in. This redeemed identity, our identity derives from a relationship. And it produces everything that we see, and however we choose to engage the world. What we see as a threat, what we see as protection, what we see as big or small, where we choose to go, where we choose not to go. This identity is connected to that. And so when we look at a redeemed identity, it's critical that we have a high awareness of God and who we are and whose we are, like, so whom we belong to, right? Whom you belong, think about my family, right? You got to know who he is and who you belong to, right? This is key, and I'm just setting the toner of how you can hear the scripture and the word today. And I just thought it was so prophetic that Christian asked me to speak on this particular scripture. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I want to touch on that because I think it's interesting that this metaphor that the Bible uses with darkness versus light. Because right now, when we look at darkness, what are we afraid of when it comes to darkness? I'd venture to say it's the unknown. It's the uncertainty. It's that we don't know what's around us, what we might trip over, what may come for us, right? And we all get this feeling, and in our science age, technology age, we don't know what's going on. It's like somebody just shut off all the lights of our social life, and it seems dark. But I think the prophetic reminder is that we are still in his light, and God is saying his light has not dimmed. And so this, in our identity, knowing who God is and walking in this light, there is a hope. And this light I'm excited about because it's shed abroad in his scriptures. And in Psalms 46, what we're about to get in, I think we can take cover in it. We can take cover in this. And so, well, let's get into his word. Psalms 46, I believe, and I know it's the Psalm of the ages, right? It's designed for each generation. It's a beautiful, the Psalms, I encourage you right now during this time to increase your diet of Psalms because they are prayers that center on lament and praise and really where the person is at with God. And you see the journey. Psalms teach us about God and our relationship with him. And that is the heart of theology. That is the identity that we're talking about. The Psalter may be thought of as a portrait gallery of God, presenting us with multiple images of who God is. We're going to see multiple images of God today. But I love poetry, especially as a hip-hop artist. Like, poetry articulates in a way that we can't logically, right? Robert Frost said, poetry is when an emotion has found its thought. And I'll take it a step further. Poetry in the Bible is when the spiritual world and the physical world make sense. And that's where Psalms is great at capturing what's going on. So, let's jump into the Psalms 46. Now, God is our refuge and strength, a very present, a help in trouble. When we look at the Psalms, there's a person, like we just feel like we're eavesdropping in the prayer, and we can almost take that prayer to be for us, right? You can take it to be for us, and there's a personal application. Like, when I see this Psalm, refuge, it means so much to me. Like, my mind goes back to about 15 years ago on a rainy day, and my grandmother is sitting next to me, and she's crying, and we're driving, and all of her stuff and our stuff is in our trunk because we got evicted, and we're driving around and don't know where to go. And I'll never forget the day. I never forget how the rain hit the window that day, and the leaves that blew, and just like searching and looking for an answer, and God made a way when I didn't know where to go. And so refuge has a special meaning for me, and I can personally apply this, but I want to pause us in our personal application, because when we look at the context of what happened, of what's going on, why is this psalmist saying this? We get so much more meaning for our situation. And I think in particular, especially for now in 2020 in March, during this global pandemic. So when we look at this psalm, there are three parts to it. And what I want to, so the question is, what's going on? What's happening? What's happening in this psalm? I got an image that I'm going to show you. This is what's going on right now. You see it? Oh, the other way. There we go. Here we go. All right. Anybody know what this movie is? You could put it in the chat. You could put it in the text. Okay. That's right. It's Independence Day. That's right. To whoever got it, high five emoji. All right. This is Independence Day. This is an invasion where the biggest ship, like this ship is so big of 9 million people, it casts a shadow and there's oncoming danger, right? This was one of my favorite movies of all time. But that's what's going on right now while this psalmist is writing. There is an invasion going on. And who is doing the invasion? It would be the Assyrian Empire, the king of Assyria. Now, this empire, I want to tell you, this is a global power, an empire of times. It is documented, it is historical. The name of the king at the time is Sennacherib, and he ruled from 705 to 681 BC. And this guy was no joke. He basically took about 89 cities, 20 villages. He's known for burning down Babylon and causing multiple genocide. Okay, that is who is invading this small little city of Jerusalem. And Hezekiah is the king. And also, a point that might be interesting while we go back over, the first Assyrian ruler who used the navy. So they had technology and everything. And so when we look at the psalmist, when he says, "My God, God is our refuge, our shelter," there is danger. There is imminent danger that they feel coming around them, that God is our, wait a minute, our, so context meaning the community, the nation, not just me, but the people around me, the people I love. God is our refuge, shelter, and strength, the capacity against resistance, right? That which is coming against us. It is our strength. There's a saying that goes, fatigue makes cowards of all men, right? When we are weak. And then it goes into a very present that is here in your space. He emphasizes very. That means God is not observing from afar. He's not watching to see how you react, trying to test you, see if you're good enough or bad enough. Like, no, he's in your personal space, bro. Like, he's right there. He's enough to drink tea with you. Like, he is there. And he is a help in trouble. Trouble, that which makes you anxiety, that which you cannot solve on your own. Trouble, that which helps you not to sleep at night, right? That causes you stress, depression, you can't eat. That thing, he is a present help in trouble. And then he goes on and says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away that which is under you, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, that which is over you, right? And though its waters roar in foam, that which is around you. And so the whole world is like tossing and shaking and it's convulsing and God is there and he's present with you. Can we just let that settle in and rest? And the psalmist says, therefore, we will not fear. Now, the scripture isn't asking us to be stoics, to not be afraid, to not be concerned. Like, half of the psalms are about lament and concern, right? There's tears. There's reality. But what the psalmist is saying is that, no, my confidence is more in God and his present reality with me than the whole world reality around me. Wait a minute, that God is more present as the creator than the creations. You see, that God is bigger, that it is not. So basically, it is a priority. And so there is a balance that we have to strike, that we're not stoics, that we're not indifferent, but that we are confident in God in this predicament. Where is our confidence? And so this first part of the psalm, Selah, gives us a break. God is presented as the help, and he's present. Now let's go forward. The second part, after the Selah, after the break. In hip hop, we call it a break in the beat. The drop comes back in, and he says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." Wait a minute. Hold on. We see the world shaking, and now we see a river. Now we see a river and it streams, and we see a calmness flowing, a serene, a peaceful. Verse 6 says the nations are raging. It's still kind of crazy, but there's this calmness. Now we see what the help of God looks like. So first we see the help, now we're seeing what this help looks like, and God's help comes packaged in calmness and peace. Now what is this calmness? We see calmness has been woven, like God has been doing that type of thing like since Moses and standing at the shore of the sea with death and slavery coming behind him, nothing before. God says, "Stop crying." He said, "Be still." We see it with Jesus when there's a storm and he says, "Peace, be still." Like he says, "I'm in a small, still voice." Like there's this calm. And I don't think we're used to it because we're so used to power being loud, big drama, bang, kata, crash, right? But God's power really is in a calmness as well. There's a range, but we're talking about the calmness. And I was trying to find a way to explain this, and I think God reminded me of my chronic asthma attacks when I was younger. And, you know, my mother tells stories about looking at me and feeling like I wasn't going to make it. I was used to the hospital. I was used to how it smelled and certain shows like MASH that would play 24/7 getting on my nerves, right? This was reality for me. But the thing, if you have asthma, all my people that had asthma or have it, your lungs, your body produces a mucus that restricts your airways and you can't breathe. And, you know, it's one of the most frightful feelings that your source supply is being shortened. And, you know, they say for survival people out there, they say you can go 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 hours without shelter, given, you know, the type of shelter it is, and 3 minutes without air. 3 minutes. So the clock is on, right? And when you panic, when you have an asthma attack, the thing that they ask you to do is the most unnatural thing to do. At that time when your air is being constricted, it was always relax, breathe in, breathe slow, right? Take a breath as much as you can, go slow. And I just remember that as I was younger, and it was this, it's not my natural instinct, but it was calming. And I think God is trying to help the people of God be calm, to take a deep breath. So while you're out there right now, take a deep breath, relax, right? And allow the calmness of God, the river, to flow. This calmness is a power. And so if you might be about to make a frantic decision, slow down. Make sure your decisions are based on your faith in God and your love for God, not out of a frantic or panic type of thing. Be calm and hear God. What else is next? God is within her. So who is the city of God? The city of God is Jerusalem. Within her, the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Jerusalem, the city of God, is the community where God is being worshipped. Where God is being worshipped. So in essence, we're talking about the community. God anchors the community. This is beyond us. This is beyond the people. This is beyond one person. This is a work of God. And so as we see the nation still rage, the kingdom still totter, and we see a little quick using God's voice, the earth melts, we see his power, right? Everything will get checked in a second. But I want to bring our attention to the Lord of hosts. It says the Lord of hosts is with us. and the God of Jacob is our fortress. What is this Lord of hosts? What is he talking about? And when I found this out, I got up in my house. My wife didn't know what I was. I got up. I was like, I had to walk around. The Lord of hosts literally means the Lord of armies. Now, if you go back to what I told you, sound like my dad, go back to what I told you about the empire, the invasion. It was a global army coming after this small town of Jerusalem. And the psalmist is saying that God is the Lord of armies. It's a reference to God's power. To God's power above those natural circumstances that are after them. I'm like, God is reminding them, hey, I'm strong. It's God marshaling his heavenly host. And then what is the God of Jacob? Did you ever ask yourself, why is God being elected to be called the God of Jacob? Who is Jacob? Let's talk about his character. His character was a little bit of iffy in the beginning, right? He was the guy that lied, the guy that stole, ran away because his brother wanted to kill him, right? That's the guy we're talking about here. And his character was so iffy, God even changed his name to what? Israel, right? So why are we seeing God of Jacob come up now? Well, you know what? It's really a reference, a connection to God's devotion. Meaning, it's not about your character. It's not about your sin. It's not about the shakiness. It's more about God's love. That God trumps those things. He's not looking for resumes before he saves. He's not looking to qualify people before he saves. No, 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 no. This is the God of Jacob. This is the God of devotion. And when the world is crumbling and shaking and doing things it's never done before, you can probably think about judgment. You can probably think, that sin that I did. You can probably think about, maybe I deserve this. But we see here a devotion, a pursuit of man from God. And so this is comforting to them that he is their fortress. Again, second time, refuge, fortress. He is with us. There's emphasis here that it's important that we do not forget. Now let's move on. The third part. So the first part, help is presented. God is present. The second part of the psalm is what help looks like, calm, peaceful, serene. The third, let's get into it. There's two instructions. It says, come and behold, come and see. Just come and see, right? Don't come and do, just come and see, right? And then the second instruction is what? Be still and know that I am God. So let's first take the first one, come and see. So it's like walking in, come and see, come see what I've decorated. It says, what are we looking at? We're looking at the works of the Lord. The works of the Lord. And what does the works of the Lord look like? It says he has brought desolations on the earth. Okay, what is he talking about? The next verse helps us understand what he's talking about. That he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. Breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. All of these things. What is war? What is spears and chariots? These are weapons of war. These are man-made conflict destructive items. This is God taking the Nobel Peace Prize. This is God, the Prince of Peace, ending war. And more so in context, again, remember, this is God saving a small little town of Jerusalem from a global empire. That he averted the invasion. You go to 2 Chronicles, you can see the story, but it was a miracle. Again, we keep seeing God do these mighty things against these global powers like Egypt of the past and Rome of the past and now Assyria. And so God is saying, watch, you can watch. You don't have to do. Watch, this is a God thing. And then he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Again, the calmness comes up. And this is very opposite to our natural instinct. When the world is shaking and everybody's wilding out and acting up, our instinct is what? To flight, take flight, or fight, not be still. He says, be still, and then he says, and know that I am God. Going back to whom do you say I am? How do you know me? Because God is the true reality. And the enemy wants to take us out of God's reality into a place of doubt, into a place where we just destroy ourselves, where we hurt each other. But that is not the identity of God. He said, know that I am God. Do you know that He is God? When you look at our life, when you look at your life, when I look at my life, is there an understanding that He is God? He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This is just God bringing His reality, because people have forgotten that they were made in His image. They've forgotten the breath that they breathe comes from God. They have forgotten the sun that shines is from God. They have forgotten the earth they walk in was created by God and His voice. And this is just God reordering. This is not clout chasing. This is not God trying to rise above. This is actually God putting, returning life to order, shalom, harmony. This is how God created the world to be. And our brokenness, our sinfulness, has distorted some things, and it can be confusing, and it can be hard. And I just want somebody to know that this is not the way God has intended life to be. This was not His plan. God's life is harmonious in peace and love. What are the fruits of the Spirit? I just want to call people back to that, because I think sometimes we wonder, why is this going on? Well, it's not God's plan. It is not God's will that any man should perish. He said, nothing but good and perfect gifts come from above. We have to remember who God is and His heart. And then it repeats the hook, the Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our fortress. There's thousands of titles for God in the Bible, because He fits exactly what we need at the time. So we could actually replace this, that He is the Lord of healing. He is the Lord of vaccines. He is the God of the economy. He is all that we need. He is God. And there is no army, there is no power, there is no height, no depth, there is no angel, no demon, there's nothing in the past or present that can separate us from the love of God. And then I just love the God of Jacob, man, that just gets to me. But what I want us to do here, I want us to take Jacob's name out, and I want you to place your name there. That He is the God of Shay, that He is the God of Khan, that He is the God of Donald, He is the God of Julie, God of Andrew, God of Camille, God, He is the God, He is your God, meaning He is devoted to you. And there's no quiz or test. It is just who He is in His essence, in His nature, in His love. That is who God is. Can we walk in this? Can we embrace this? I'm truly encouraged today that God is our refuge, that God is our strength. And so, how do we walk in this reality of God? may be wondering that, or somebody may be saying, I don't feel him. But this is not about a feeling. This is about God's truth. And so I thought that, you know, 2 weeks ago I was in Georgia, I was doing a seminar, and we had a retreat of silence. This is my first time, and my friend Tim ministered, and he said, you know what, this is catch-up time. And as I came back to New York and everything changed, I believe that was prophetic, that this is catch-up time. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and you just, like, something gets in the way, you don't get to finish the conversation, right? And before you know it, time can pass, the person cannot even know what you're talking about, you can forget what you're talking about, but it was important, right? The conversation. And I just truly believe God has been trying to speak to us. God has been trying to have a conversation with you, with me, but we've been a bit too busy. Our schedule has been a bit too busy. We've been too busy. But now everybody knows where everybody is at. There's not too many places you can go, and I believe now God wants to catch up on a conversation with you and talk with you. Talk to you a little bit about the past. Talk to you a little bit about the future. Talk to you a little bit about the present. Some things that only God himself can reveal to you. And that's the beautiful thing about now, is that we can catch up on our conversation with God. Secondly, see the good. It's funny, the crowd. We started out Hope Youth. Shout out to Hope Youth if you're out there. Francis, Anna, Catherine. I gotta say everybody's now. Forgive me. I'm just in the moment. Elias, Angelina, Alexa, Luca. Shout outs to you. All right. So we started out this year with gratitude, counting our blessings. What's the good things, right? The Bible says, if I have 10,000 tongues, I could not praise you enough, right? And so what are the good things right now that we can hold to, that we can embrace right now? It's very important. And so, you know, in America, I don't think we do really good with our elders. And unfortunately, this might have been some times where we spoke to our grandparents in a couple months because of the concern. God is calling us to love on our elders, our matriarchs and our patriarchs, at a higher level than what we've been doing before. Right? We have that time to embrace our family and love them. Catch up on conversations with the people around us. Right? Gratitude for being able to walk out, enjoy the time and the air and breathe. The smog, they showed a picture of LA, like the LA smog is clearing, right? The New York smog is clearing, right? So there's some good things, right? Let's count our blessings still, right? Let's count this blessing of technology that you guys are able to hear, and we're able to chat and talk. Like, these are blessings. And another thing, do your homework on how Christians have responded to plagues in the past. In Rome, in Europe, actually, there's plague that hit, and the gospel spread even further because people were open and sensitive to wrestling with God and wrestling with reality in a way they have never been. My wife's a counselor, and she told me that, you know, now she's been talking about God more than ever in all of her sessions in the last 2 weeks. And so this is a time where we get to speak life and speak hope and speak connection, because there is a greater, there's a greater world at stake here. There's a greater eternity at stake here than what it is in the present. And as people of God, we understand that and know that. And my third point is that we will love our neighbor and do justice. That we would not be dismissive. You know, this crisis hits all of us in a different way, but the reality is that this crisis is rougher on others than some. And some people, some of my friends, are more afraid to go outside. And it's not because of the virus. It's because of xenophobia, discrimination, prejudice that extends all the way to the top, to the highest power in this country, our president, where they don't feel comfortable because they don't know how somebody may speak to them in a disrespectful way or physically harm them. We have to stand with our Asian brothers and sisters and affirm them and not allow any of that nonsense and speak up. That's part of justice, speaking up, loving our neighbor, the value of our brothers and sisters is crucial. Those that are vulnerable, those who Andrew serves, right, who already community had isolated them, that we can be there for them. The greatest thing about being a Christian and a child of God is that God goes before us and we can love others with this support that extends beyond us, beyond our own stuff. And in this country where individualism is at an all-time high, Christians have this great opportunity to show what unity, love, and community looks like. And so, do justice and love. And what we're going to do as a justice team, we're going to add on to that list and some local things that we can really do. We should put it up tomorrow, so stay tuned on that. And doing the survey is critical. And let's pray for one another. Let's make phone calls to one another, text one another, and be about each other. This is a great time to grow together in intimacy. And shout outs to all our health workers in Hope Astoria that are on the front lines. We appreciate you. We are praying for you. We applaud you. You guys are walking heroes. And remember, God is with you. God is very present. In a vulnerable space, God is there. He's not observing. And so as Shay, our worship leader, comes forward, God is our refuge and strength. Very present in help. A very present help in troubled times. I'm praying that the scripture soaks into your heart today, and that you can breathe. And you know, some days will be harder than others. Some days we need to stay before God a little bit longer. Some days we need to stay in scripture a little bit longer. Some days we have to stay before God a little bit longer to make sure our minds are renewed, our hearts are renewed. But God is telling us today that He is with us.